Why pray when you can worry about a guilty conscience? Part two. Pete was joking tonight and saying, you know, well, I don't have a guilty conscience. I said, well, you certainly will have after tonight. We're reading from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. And the Apostle John writes these words. This is the message which we have heard from him, speaking of Jesus, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Last week we saw from John's Gospel, and he mentioned that there again this evening, that conscience is, to put it in modern day terms, is like an app that God has downloaded into the heart of every human being. People think their conscience is in their mind, but their conscience is in your heart, because the heart is the very center of life, and conscience is at the very center of heart. Conscience is supposed to react when our actions, our thoughts, and our words conform to or are contrary to a standard of right and wrong. It's this moral code, this moral awareness, moral consciousness that is built in, that God has downloaded into the hearts of every human being. Which is why God's word says every person is without excuse. In other words, conscience or knowledge within oneself tells us something is either right or wrong. A guilty conscience also tells us that we owe a debt that needs to be paid. Whether it's an offense against the law of the land or something that we've done to another person or have failed to do for others, conscience tells us we have a debt. However, as I said last week, a person's greatest debt is to God, the app designer, because it is against him that we have committed our greatest offense. God's word says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have gone against our conscience and fallen short of the glory of God. The reformer Martin Luther, as I said last week, said, it is neither right nor safe to go against my conscience. When conscience tells us that we owe a debt, we need to take heed and do something about it, because we ignore it at our peril. I was thinking during the week, 21 years after the ceasefire was declared in Northern Ireland, we are now only really beginning to witness new aspects of the painful legacy of the previous 25 years of conflict, better known as the Troubles. Post-traumatic stress disorder affects not only former security force personnel who bravely served in the British Army or in the Royal Ulster Constabulary or in the Ulster Defence Regiment or the Royal Irish Regiment, but also affects many victims on both sides of the religious divide within Northern Ireland. Some ex-prisoners or ex-combatants from both Loyalist and Republican communities also face mind traumas that I have called snakes in the head syndrome. 21 years after the ceasefire and decades after certain operations were carried out I've spoken on different occasions with men who say they're struggling to cope with the guilt of what they had done. They're suffering from snakes in the head syndrome. For years, they've suppressed guilt and sought to silence their conscience, but now they're running out of suppressants, and they live each day dreading the consequences that they may be brought to account. These snakes in their head often manifest with nightmares, with hallucinations, with panic attacks. They live each day in fear of the historical inquiry team coming knocking at their door. But most, if not all, of these manifestations, these manifestations emanate or originate from a guilty conscience. It is neither right nor safe to go against our conscience. It is neither right nor safe to ignore our conscience. But you see, it's interesting that it's not only paramilitaries or former paramilitaries who suffer from snakes in the head syndrome. As I said last week, there is not an adult on earth who hasn't gone against their conscience in some way or other. Whether it is an offense against the law of the land, or something that we've done to another person, or have failed to do for others. Lawbreakers, tax evaders, rapists, child abusers, liars, thieves, robbers, adulterers, murderers, fornicators, deceivers, the sexually immoral, drug dealers, cowards, false worshippers of God, worshippers of false gods, blasphemers, the greedy rich, the greedy poor, the malicious, the envious, the jealous people, the irreligious, the irreverent, the irresponsible, the drug abuser, the wife beater, the gossip, the backbiter, the arrogant and the violent, the list is absolutely endless. All of these and many, many more know that they have done wrong. But rather than face the truth and agree with their conscience, they seek to suppress it and bury it. But believe me, whatever you suppress of conscience, whatever you seek to bury is buried alive. It will come out. It will come to the fore again. You will soon discover that you too have got snakes in your head. Mahatma Gandhi said, "There is a higher court than the courts of justice, and that is the court of conscience. But a still higher court is the court of Almighty God, to whom all people must give account." You see, it was God who gave each of us a conscience to remind us that we must give account. Without a conscience, a person is considered a sociopath, someone who breaks the laws of society and has no regard for others. But as far as God is concerned, people who think they have no conscience are guilty of persistent offenses and have calloused or seared their conscience, and they have an even greater debt to pay. It is neither safe, it is neither right nor safe to go against our conscience. Even worse, to ignore it. So why pray when you can worry about a guilty conscience? You see, when conscience tells us we owe a debt, we need to take heed and do something about it. We ignore it at our peril. From a human perspective, when we offend others, we can ask for forgiveness, or we can try to make right what was wrong. But as far as God is concerned, that is not enough to have our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience. Remember, conscience is like having God's law downloaded into our hearts. Conscience is also like a mirror into which we see our reflections. And if it is God's law and we look into it with all honesty, we will see that the mirror is telling us we are guilty. We are dirty. It can tell you it all day long. But the mirror has absolutely no power to cleanse that dirt away. It can tell you as often as you look into it, you are dirty. You have broken every command of God. You are dirty. But the mirror cannot do anything to help you to be cleansed from it. Our conscience tells us we are dirty. We have sinned and we need to be cleansed. Now we can choose to ignore what the mirror is saying, but it doesn't change the fact we're still dirty. We can yell at the mirror and say, "How dare you show me that I'm dirty?" Doesn't change the fact that we are dirty. We can try to cover the mirror up and pretend that the mirror just doesn't exist. But it doesn't change the fact that we are dirty. We can smash the mirror and just have nothing more to do with it and break it to pieces and continue to keep trampling it underfoot, breaking it to dust. But it doesn't change the fact that we are still dirty. What we need to do is admit the truth that we're dirty and find a way of having the dirt cleansed. God has declared the only way a person can have their heart sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience is by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's word tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It is only when we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ that in that sense we can look into the mirror and see ourselves reflected, not as who we are, but who we are in Christ. Cleansed, forgiven, all our sins washed away. God's word tells us in our reading, if we confess, if we agree with God that we are sinners, it doesn't mean coming in and saying to God, I committed this sin at this time and I committed this sin at this time. That's not what confession means here. It says, if we agree with God that we are sinners, if we confess that truth, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what God Himself tells us. This is wonderful, wonderful news, because it doesn't matter how dirty we are. When we look in that mirror, which is the Ten Commandments of God, that will tell us we're absolutely filthy to the core. But God says it doesn't matter if you will just admit that you're filthy. Admit to me that you're filthy. Come to me telling me this. And I promise you, because I am just, I will forgive you and cleanse you from all of your sin. God can only do that because of Jesus. There is no other way. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone that we draw near to God for forgiveness of sins. There is no other way. It is only through Jesus that we can be cleansed and be at peace with God. Believe me, this is the only way to have our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience. And so tonight, if you're suffering from snakes in the head syndrome, you know that you've done wrong and you have a guilty conscience about it, come first to God, to whom you owe the greatest debt, and seek His forgiveness. You see, because of His amazing grace shown to you, because He will show you amazing grace, if you come, He tells you this, if you come to me and confess your sin, Because I am faithful and just, I will forgive you for all of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And because of his amazing grace shown to you, you can then begin in his love to address any offenses that you have committed against others. And where necessary or applicable, seek forgiveness from them, offering restitution and reparation. There is still forgiveness with God for you. But you've got to humbly come to him, seeking it, and come to him through Jesus and through Jesus alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, thank you for your good law. Because without your law, we would have no knowledge of sin. But thank you that it shows us how filthy and vile we are. That we are completely marred by sin. And thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Because he offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin, having paid our debt, we can come to you through him and ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And because you are faithful and because you are just, you will do so. Father, please help us all to understand the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ, that through his death, our debt has been paid in full. We don't have to go through life with snakes in our head. We may have committed terrible, terrible sins. Lord, there is none beyond cleansing, bar one. And may we never, Lord God, commit that sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit when we reject for the last time your offer of full salvation through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Amen.